We are going to go into the weeds here with Dr. Brown, but he could totally handle it. Don't worry. We are talking about GLP-1 drugs, and I have a lot of reasons to talk about them today. Hey, Dr. Brown, welcome back. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Melissa?
I'm good. So here's why I want to talk about GLP-1 medications. It's a little bit loaded.
Sure.
Okay. So
yeah,
you know, thank you for venturing into the unknown with me. I always appreciate that. So
yeah, no problem.
These drugs are changing the way employers and even health insurance carriers are approaching health coverage because rising costs are forcing some to rethink those benefits. Some companies are tightening eligibility or dropping coverage altogether for the weight loss medications as demand continues to grow. It's no secret. Millions and millions of Americans in the last couple of years have started to rely on GLP-1 medications. Now, here's why, right? So on the surface, a lot of the times it's because of weight loss, and that's fine, right? However, here's where you come in, Dr. Brown. We have to talk about why so many doctors are even encouraging or recommending GLP-1 medications, and this is where I think you can kind of fill in the gaps here. It's not just a matter of, oh, I'm overweight and I would like to lose a bunch of weight and look like a supermodel. A lot of the times, correct me if I'm wrong, doctors are saying to people, you should get on a GLP-1 because let's just say you have sleep apnea. And if you, and sometimes when you're overweight, it's harder for people to be able to sleep or to breathe at night. I'm just giving an example, but this is where I feel like you could really talk about, you know, why are so many people using GLP-1s? It can't just simply be because I want to be skinny.
Exactly. Exactly right. So that's a great point. And it's very interesting because, I mean, just let's just kind of break it down into obesity. Because the answer is that why, you know, yes, there's obviously a cosmetic piece, but there's also health issues related to it.
Mm.
And you brought up a point about sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is actually an indication to start a GLP-1. And I would say a good percentage of the insurances will cover that. So that is one of those pieces. And then if you lose weight, then you know you are decreasing the likelihood of you having sleep apnea. Sleep apnea in turn will, you know, untreated sleep apnea will lead to strokes and other bad things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about it, and this is sort of an issue, and since you brought it up, this is kind of a little bit of a I'm not going to say political, but a little bit of an aspect of nearsightedness.
Mm.
So really what's important about health, and we talk about this all the time, Melissa, is that we talk about eating right and exercising.
Mm-hmm.
And weight loss is part of that.
Yep.
You know, being able to, you know, again, I disagree with sort of just taking the shot or now the pill, you know, and losing weight and not doing anything. I mean, this should be your opportunity to start to, you know, exercise and eat right, because those also will be really important to do. But the weight loss itself is really important because it reduces high blood pressure. It reduces sleep apnea. Those in turn will reduce your risk of having heart disease and stroke, which are sort of the leading causes of death in our community,
mm-hmm.
in our country. So again, reducing those things, it actually probably even reduces cancer, definitely reduces joint pain and sleep issues. So again, I think there's a bigger picture when we're talking about managing the health of the population. We talk about the U.S. being very expensive in healthcare. If we're able to reduce some of these chronic illnesses that occur because of obesity, it's a really good thing.
Right. Well, so it's interesting because I was just reading an article one of the mornings this week. I think this was out of Switzerland. It was the European Respiratory Society or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But it was something to that degree. And they were showing that a new study linked these drugs to asthma attacks dropping significantly. I'm going to pull it up really quick. Yeah, so it says a new study links weight loss drugs Ozempic and Wegovy to a 40% drop in asthma attacks worldwide. And again, I think you're just more and more you're seeing that GLP-1s, again, are leading to, I think, tremendous health changes in people. And it's yes, on the surface, of course, the fact that you're losing weight is I would call it a perk, if you want to call it that. And there are certainly people who are finding ways to kind of cut corners and how can I get on this drug and why should I get on this drug? You know, like I've heard about, I'm not going to pretend like I don't know doctors who are saying, oh, well, according to, you know, where your weight is at and your stature, you're technically obese, so you could be on the drug. You know, I do know there are people cutting corners. I'm not going to pretend like I don't know that. However, I would say a lot of people in America are relying on these GLP-1 medications because doctors feel part of the reason they're having issues with joint pain, sleep, on and on is because of their weight. And look, we haven't cleaned up the food that we eat. Right. I mean, we just had an outbreak of an issue that linked to lettuce. OK, so we can't even get the food sources right now. So we have to kind of give somewhere. And my point of bringing this up is where it gets a little controversial or it gets a little bit into the weeds is I'm shocked that health insurance carriers won't cover it. I get that more and more people need it. But this is not just for diabetics anymore. Like it's clearly for more people.
Absolutely. And I agree with that. And I think there needs to be a transition in this country related to insurance and how people are insured and what gets paid and what doesn't get paid. You know, we've made some transitions that we focus more on, you know, the medications and the things that are actually making you healthier. But we still are focused on sort of the here and now and not the long term. And that's a problem. I mean, that continues to make our healthcare very expensive. We need to spend more time and more money in prevention than we do in sort of chronic care. We need to prevent people from having long-term diabetes and complications related to diabetes, not, you know, treat them when it comes. And I think that's, unfortunately, a lot of the insurances, and again, the insurances kind of switch in different ways, but a lot of the insurances are focused on that and not focused on sort of the longer term. I know there's been accountable care organizations that the federal government has actually worked on, which are really focused more on spending more time with the patients, focused on wellness and making sure that they stay better, and focusing on quality metrics to make sure that their hemoglobin A1C, which is a predictor of diabetes, are checked on a regular basis, that their blood pressure is under control. Those are the things that we need to focus on. We call that, you know, global care.
Well, and something else that you mentioned before, Dr. Brown, and I don't want it to go without being mentioned. I come from a family of health insurance brokers, so I'm not about to pretend like I don't understand that the insurance world is not perfect. It certainly is broken. However, you know, for people who don't also realize that the as in like hospital systems, the amount of money that is charged to a person just to get into an ambulance is insane.
Yeah.
The amount of money that they charge just to do some of the tests that you're talking about are thousands and thousands of dollars. And you know, and it's not like the money's going back into your pocket, Dr. Brown. Like, I'm very aware of that, but I don't know if people realize that. And, and not to mention the drug companies that are making a very nice amount of money off of us and not really, you know what I mean? So
you're 100% right. And
it's
a very complicated system. Everybody has their, you know, hands sort of in the pot.
Right.
It's very much, you know, you have to, you know, to end up paying for someone to come in and get care, you know, they have to not only pay for themselves, but they also have to pay for the people who don't pay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
exactly.
The only thing, you know, so if you think about in ER in the state of Connecticut, you know, anyone can come into the emergency room, anyone. And which is great, right? We'll care for anybody. The problem is that if people show up in the ER and they can't pay,
going to pay for it. Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And that's why insurance. And then, listen, we could talk about this for hours on sort of how that system is broken. And again, it's a lot of pieces that are there. And then you have, you know, how are you going to pay for the medication? Because it's, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are charging, you know, a ridiculous amount of money.
Right. But a GLP-1 being $300, $400 for only four shots or whatever it is a month. That's crazy. Who's affording that?
That's right.
It's crazy.
That's right.
Absolutely insane. But I do think there is a focus on GLP-1s for understandable reason, but I think this idea of just keeping it surface and saying, well, people are cosmetically or it's not a necessity to just lose weight, I think that is wrong. I think we can't just rest on that and be like, all right, we're just going to kind of ignore it. And if you're not a diabetic, sorry, you're out of luck. I don't think we can keep resting on that.
Absolutely. I think the indications continue to expand. I mean, and listen, we talk about, you know, secondary effects, you know, of being obese, but there's also the other effects. I mean, you mentioned asthma, but there's also a component that looks like even with addiction, which is a really hard disease to treat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, this is an area that this is a drug that acts both centrally in the brain and in the periphery, in the GI tract. So mm-hmm. it's one of those medications that actually has a lot of benefits. You know, and right now we're definitely seeing some side effects from it. But we'll continue to watch to see if there's any kind of long-term effects of it. But right now, it's looking pretty good.
We're chatting with Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health. I don't know. I'm thinking about back to school. So two came out a little too soon, but back to school season, we're back in it. Yes, there are schools that started this week, some that started a couple of weeks back, but we're in it. And even though fall weather hasn't made it here just yet, Dr. Brown, oh boy. There are already articles ready to go. They're just rearing for respiratory season to be in full swing. What can you tell us about this?
They are. It's coming. And we've actually started to see our lab. I just heard our lab has actually reported a few influenza A's. So flu season has started. We'll see. We never know how it's going to be for the flu. I think it's really important. You know, it's really is about, you know, social distancing. It's about washing your hands. I mean, that becomes the really big thing, is making sure that you're washing your hands. If you're sick, you know, I always get to say this because I can, but if you're sick, you really should stay home, especially if you have a fever. You know, you should be staying home for at least 24 hours with a fever, and that'll prevent you from spreading it. The problem with the flu is that about 24 hours before you have any symptoms, you're infectious. So that means it's really important that you're washing your hands and being careful. I think so it's very interesting. It fits really well with a kind of a population model where we see that the kids start going back to school. They start mixing their viruses, and I'm going to focus on the viruses. They start mixing their viruses, and then in October, that's when we start seeing us, the adults, start getting it because all those viruses are mixed, and then they're coming out into the population. So that's usually when we see that big thing. But again, keeping your hands clean, you know, social distancing, staying out when you are sick are really important.
And I think, Dr. Brown, part of that, I would say, solution is also to start having these conversations with your kids. I know we just had it with Chase a few weeks back. I said to him, my God, sir, if you are sneezing into your arm and then you are not also washing the crux of your arm, I swear we are failing. Because I don't know, we've entered into the cool phase of life, Dr. Brown, where we're in third
of
grade
course.
Now. We don't sneeze into our hands anymore, Dr. Brown. That's not the cool thing to do. So we either sneeze into our shirts or we sneeze into our arms, and it drives me crazy. And I think to myself, sir, have we not taught you anything? But I do, my point of bringing this up, you know, all joking aside, is that you have to have these conversations with your kids, because let me tell you, they just they don't get it, and they need the reminders. And we got a little lax over the summertime, I would think.
And the good news is, listen, and the good news is that you and I will be on every week to talk about what shows up.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
In general, right now, we don't know what the season's going to be. I mean, we've seen a couple scattered flu. I could tell you that we haven't really had a terrible or bad flu season in a while. We're a little overdue for one. So we're going to be keeping a really close eye on that. But I've been saying that for years. We just haven't seen. I mean, last year I thought we were going to see a big uptick. We did see an uptick. It was a spike, and then a spike up and a spike down. We didn't really see a bad flu season last year.
Mm.
But you'll also hear more about viruses this year than probably ever before, because after the COVID years, we now test for so many more viruses. So we know, we'll hopefully know when there are outbreaks or something floating around, that we'll be able to tell with our panel tests that do PCR. We'll be able to determine, is it an adenovirus, or is it a parainfluenza, or is it influenza itself, or are there many other viruses that are possible?
Well, we will certainly have a lot to talk about this fall.
Sure we will.
Oh, boy. Dr. Brown, I always appreciate you. Thank you so much for giving us the time, really.
My pleasure.
All right. We will talk again next week. That's Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health, of course, our peace of mind in the medical field. And whenever Chase doesn't want to sneeze into his hands, I then hand the phone to Dr. Brown. And I'm like, you tell him what to do because I'm tired of it. I might have to do that soon, though, Dr. Brown. I'm not joking. You might have to take
to do
that call.
PSA video.
Yeah,
PSA
you might.
Video.
He listens to you. I tell you. I'm like, dude, not into the shirt for the love of God. And it's like, well, if Dr.
Good
Brown
kid.
Says.
Well, you know what? He needs to keep studying. We need more docs. So.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Take my job.
So, yeah, sure. not yet, though, please. My goodness, we need you too much. We need you too much, and I'm not ready for those medical bills just yet, you know, to go to school and all that good stuff. But yes, time will tell. Time will tell. Dr. Brown, thank you so much. Appreciate you.